All right, amen. Well, isn't it nice to be here with everyone? I know this isn't our first Sunday getting together, but it's kind of nice. You can see my beautiful face. So beautiful, amen. Thank you, Lord. You have blessed me beyond belief, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Poor Pastor Steve over here is having a little bit of a coughing spell by that last comment. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's good to see everyone. It's been a while, and it's just too long. Everything that's been going on, but I do know that the Lord has a good message and a good word for us today that definitely talks about what's been happening in our lives in this year, which is going to be awesome. So let's go ahead and pray first. I like doing that first. So, Father, we just thank you right now that you have some great things in store for us today, some great revelations and illuminations, Father. You have some awesome things you want to share with us, some things you've put on our heart. And, Lord, you might have been already tugging on our hearts already during worship, and you might have been putting some things on our hearts this week, Father. We just want to allow you, Father, to do your work. We want to allow you. We're willing to let you do the work that you want to do in us, Father, today. Because you have an end goal of greatness for each and every one of us. You have a destiny and a fulfillment that only you can make, that only you can fulfill. We can try our own different ways to do things, and we might be happy for a while, but we won't be truly fulfilled unless we're doing your will, Father. So we're so thankful that you're not going to leave us in a place of unfulfillment. You're going to bring us through that and to that for our destiny and our dreams. And so, Father, we thank you so much. Do some great things today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, just want to let you know, got a little presentation for you, a little story today. So my story, as you can see, this is a shirt. So this represents Sam. Okay, Sam is a Christian. He does love Jesus. And that is him right there. Okay, so everybody sees that. All this white stuff, that's not related to Sam. This is Sam. So this is Sam as a believer, and this is his life. This is who he is. And I have some things here. Just want to let you know what they are, and I'll show you what they do. So this is used kitty litter, okay? Just want to let you know. So we've got some peanut butter here that has been in 5 mouse traps and been used to kill a number of mice. We've got some mud here, fresh mud from the Hussey Homestead. Great stuff. Yum. We've got some 3-week-old shrimp tails. Mmm, yummy. Anybody hungry? It's just the tails. It's not the shrimp. So I know. The best part is the shrimp. I know. So, and then we have some worms, some nasty things. And if you don't believe me what I'm talking about, here, Pastor Steve, why don't you tell me if this is truly worm guts and nasty stuff. Is that true?
It is true?
Are you sure? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not lying to you. Because, I mean, that... Oh, it smells lovely. Anybody want to smell? Oh. Are we taping today? Okay, so for those of you that are hearing, it is a nice, round, red case of Nightcrawlers, Canadian Nightcrawlers. Not even America. Canadian Nightcrawlers from specially made from Canada. Amazingly homegrown. So great for fishing, but also going to be helpful in my lesson today. Then we have a piece of ham that's about a month old. So it's got some nice things on it, just to let you know. And then the last thing. I dug this out of Grandma Gibbs' kitchen. 10-year-old mustard. So good stuff right here. I'm just kidding. It was from Grandma Gibbs' kitchen. But it is 10-year-old mustard. So I got some things here that we're going to, it's going to help us in our lesson today. In our story today. Oh, and I forgot one thing. Oh, this is very important. I don't want to forget this. I forgot my gloves. You didn't think I was actually going to be handling all that stuff with just my bare hands, did you? Nice purple, nice purple gloves. Bring out my true features. Very nice. So, story about Sam. So, Sam... Ooh, that's a little hot. So Sam, just put on these gloves. Oh, yes. My wife's getting excited. She looks like I'm going to wash dishes. She's like, yeah, honey, put those gloves on. Wash those dishes. I love you. All right. Got the gloves on. All right, we're good. So, story about Sam. So, Sam wakes up. Like I said, he's a believer. He wakes up, goes to the restroom. I know we all have to use the restroom when we get up in the morning. But on the way to the restroom, he stubs his toe, his baby toe, on the door jamb. Oh, how many can relate to that? Oh, stubs his toe on the door jamb. Oh, the pain and the agony. And it's kind of like, it's rough because then after he says, that's not the right one. After that, he doesn't say something so very nice. Let's put it like that. He doesn't say, oh, bless the Lord. As some of y'all would say, I'm sure. Some of y'all would say, oh, thank you, Jesus. But no, he doesn't say that. He says some other things. So when he says those things, it makes some marks on his self. So yeah, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? It's like Bob Ross right there. It's amazing. So he says those things, and so it's like, oh. So Sam goes out through his day. Then he gets dressed, okay? And his wife starts to vent on him, on how he snores and how she didn't get much sleep last night. But Sam doesn't really care, unfortunately. Sam is not really interested in whatever his wife thinks, which is really sad. It really is sad. And so he doesn't believe that stuff. He doesn't really care. He's kind of making himself all about himself. So he starts putting some other stuff on himself. Here's some even worm guts on this. Oh, yeah. There's some. Yummy. So Sam's looking a little bit rough right now, but, you know, things happen. But then his wife starts then complaining more about he doesn't help around the house, how he should do more, and that she's pregnant, so he has to do more. I'm not saying Sam is Van, just to be sure about this. I'm just using Sam. Sam is somebody different. He's not me. It's not a, you know, I mean, there are some things that I'm sure we can relate to, but Sam's not me. So, in this situation, he starts to become a little bitter. And it's kind of been building up. And he's been like, you know what? I just don't really, I'm not as big on my wife anymore. I just don't like her as much anymore. I've fallen out of love with her. And I'm not really worried about what she says. And I'm just getting kind of mad and kind of mean towards her. So he takes some of these shrimp. Yummy. Yum. You can smell that from here. It's wonderful. So Sam's life's looking a little bit rough right now. Wouldn't you say? Yeah, it's looking rough. So then Sam drives to work. You know, we all have to drive to work. Gets on 81. But then a tractor trailer cuts him off and he misses his exit. Oh. Oh. Road rage takes over. He becomes livid. And then he's so focused on getting to work that he doesn't care what happens then. He's like, I don't care. Move out of my way. And becomes actually dangerous to other people around him. It all becomes about him. And we see when that happens, it just gets rougher and rougher. And we see this Sam getting nastier and nastier. So Sam finally gets to work, okay? Finally gets to work, and his boss is there. Says he's late. Lays into him. Like, why could you? How are you late? You should be here on time. You're always late. Sam doesn't care. He's so apathetic, so lazy now at this time. He's like, you know what? I don't care. It's all about me. I'm just here because I just want to get a paycheck, and I'll just do whatever I need to do just to get by, and I don't really care. That's Sam's attitude. And it's really sad. Ugh. Oh, yuck. So then, while at work, Sam hears from his friend Kathy, and Kathy tells him some great news. Did you hear about Karen, Karen's husband? He's got that gambling problem. They're going to lose their house. Sam loves gossip. He likes being in the know of these things. He's like, oh, I wonder how I can use that to my favor, because Karen's his boss. He's like, what could I use? How could I use that? How could I get back at her? It's vengeful. And so we see more things happening with Sam. Yum. Finally, Sam drives home. He's completed his day of work. Finally drives home. He's done with the day. And now he turns on the news. So then he starts hearing all these different things on the news. He gets offended, gets upset, because Sam knows the best thing in life is just about him. And Sam's like, well, I don't care what other people think. I don't care what's happening in the world. It's all about me, and everybody else is wrong. So then he gets more stuff on him. Then Sam, after his day, eats dinner, goes to bed. And this is what Sam looks like at the end of one day. And the interesting thing about Sam is that he went to bed with this shirt on. He went to bed with this going on in his life. And he wakes up, and he gets more stuff on it the next day. And he gets more stuff on it the next day after that. And so what I want to say today is that Sam needs to do something about his life. He's in a vicious cycle. And the main topic of my sermon today is wash that shirt. We need to wash that shirt. Because Sam didn't have any time for prayer. Sam didn't have any time coming to Jesus. All these things were thrust on him, and all these things he had a response for. Some of it by himself, some of it by other people. But he could have reacted differently. But he chose not to, even when all these things happened, and chose to stay in the grime and the grit and the sin. That's what it does. That's what sin does. That's what the grime does. It hurts us. It hurts us because God has an awesome plan and a fulfillment for our lives, a destiny for us, but we can't do it if we have all this junk and all this grime and grit and nastiness in the way. We can't fulfill that purpose. So I want to say, we're going to wash that shirt today. Amen? We're going to wash that shirt. I'm going to tell you how we can wash that shirt and give you some examples from Jesus himself on how we can wash that shirt so that when we have those things thrust upon us, because, hey, life is tough. Life is going to happen. Things are going to happen regardless, whether you're a believer or non-believer. Life is difficult. But I'm going to tell you how we can wash that shirt. Do you want to be an ambassador of Christ with a shirt like that? Would you want to hug somebody with a shirt like that? Do you think you could be an effective Christian with a shirt like that? Do you think anyone wants to be around you with a shirt like that? No. You're not doing what God has called us to do, is to love others, is to be there with others. Pastor Steve's been talking about a few things, and Pastor Kurt and some of the other pastors here have been talking about a few things that's been going on. And I liked it how Pastor Steve said that things are going to be coming to the surface in our lives. And it really, really touched home to me and what God shared with us in this season. You know, how we were at the beginning of the year, 2020, great year. Everybody was looking forward to it. January. And remember, January is a long time ago, you know. We're at the halfway point. Everybody's like, yeah, 2020 is going to be a great year. Clear vision. Well, it's true. It is. But it's not the same way we thought it was going to be. What's clear is, and what the vision is for 2020 that we'd see clearly, we now can see our hearts clearly in the church and in the world. You might be, well, Van, what do you mean by you can see our hearts clearly? Well, let me just mention three things, and I'll show you where your heart is. Three topics, okay? Coronavirus, where's your heart there? George Floyd, where's your heart with that one? And President Donald Trump. All those three things can raise a reaction inside of us. And what is our reaction? Where are our hearts? Have we washed our shirts lately? Are we relying on Jesus and on His presence to wash us, to give us godly insight, to give us godly wisdom? Are we trusting in our own life, in our own ways, in our own will, of thinking we know best because of the limited information we have or the skewed information that we have? But I didn't come here to beat you guys up. No. That's not what God does. He says, I want you to see clearly. He is giving us a six-month check today, which is wonderful. He's given us a report card, said, hey, I want to check in with you. I told you how this year was going to go, but I want to check to see how you guys are doing. And this is a great opportunity today. A great opportunity. Because we know where our hearts are now, that we're seeing it. The Lord's been kind of letting us know what's going on. Today we get to see a check mark, and we get to see where we're going to go from here on out. So this is a wonderful opportunity to see where we are and where we can make a difference and what we can do differently in the second half of this year, where God has great things in store for us, great things that are going to help us as a community, as a body of believers, and as our own lives and our own families. God's got some great things, but we have to wash that shirt. We have to. Let's look in the Word here. Let's go into Luke 4. Luke 4. And I'm going to show you that God loves us, that Jesus Himself had to endure these things as well. Jesus Himself had to endure these things. So Luke 4, so reading in verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Led by the Spirit, not anyone else. For 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. That's a lot of days. I'm just saying straight up. This is from Van's commentary right here. If I have a Bible one day, have a little commentary, this is going to be in it. So I'm like, that is a long time to eat, go without eating. I would be starving. Very much so. And I'm sure some of you guys would be too. He ate nothing during those days, and in the end was very hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God. Oh my gosh, devil, just shut up. You're stupid. If you are the Son of God. All right, okay. That's just dumb. Thank you, devil. You know nothing. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Three things that we can do to wash that shirt. One of the things we can do is wash our minds. What our minds do, they have these feelings, they have these cravings, they have the things that help us to go, help us get going. And if we're not careful with our minds, we won't be washing that shirt. So Jesus says, man should not live by bread alone. He was hungry. Of course he was. But he says, I'm not going to give in to my feelings. I'm not going to give in to my cravings. Because I know what you're trying to do, Satan. You're trying to tempt me. You're trying to make me do something that I'm not called to do. I don't need to do. Because I am the Son of God. We need to wash our minds. And how we do that is in His presence. Don't you feel clearer in your mind after you've spent some time in His presence? I mean, I got kids. I love my kids. But sometimes during worship season or worship songs, it's a little hard to focus on Jesus. Just being real. Just being honest. Sometimes a little tough. It's like, Jesus, I want to focus on you, but you kids, you better quiet. Shh. Stop it. You know. We want them to experience God. We want them to enjoy being in His presence and stuff. But sometimes they just want to play. And it's not the best. So my mind, it kind of gets off on all these different things. But when I get back into His presence, my mind clears. Everything else becomes secondary to what he has for in store. And I think clearer, I know what's going on. So wash your mind with his presence, number one. Then in verse, later on in the scripture, in Luke 4, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. Thank you, devil. Yes, you think you're a king, but you're not. Lovely. It has been given to me, and I will give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Isn't that like the devil? He just likes to say, hey, I know everything. I can do everything. You can't. I'll give you this. Isn't it a trap? The devil's just a big doo-doo head. It's true. That's in Vane's commentary, too. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Next thing we need to do, when we wash our shirt, we need to wash our minds with his presence. Secondly, we need to wash our hearts. Because where our heart is, that's where our treasure lies. That's what we worship, what's in our hearts. And Jesus is like, I'm not going to worship that. I worship God. I'm not going to worship those things. I'm not going to worship those things that are some gratifying but will leave me empty. I'm not going to worship those things. I'm going to worship God. So number two, wash your heart. And how we do that is in his word. But hide these things in my heart. David said, search my heart, O God. We know what's going on. Wash our heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Wash your heart. Going on, Luke 4. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Now, I always wondered about this one. I was like, was he like up on some temple somewhere, you know, like climbing up there, way above everything else? And, you know, did he do it during the daytime where like the Jewish people, hey, Zacharias, this guy's going to jump. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I kind of wondered about that. Did he do it at nighttime or did he just appear there? I just didn't understand that one. That was, to me, is always like, I wonder what really happened on that one. But anyways, that's besides the point. If you are the Son of God, he said, this is Satan, throw yourself down here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. I love that. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord God to the test. When the devil finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Third thing we can do is with washing that shirt is wash your spirits. And what I mean by washing your spirit is aligning your will, aligning your spirit with the Holy Spirit. And that's how we do that. Jesus could do this. Yes, it is written. He could do that. But it wasn't his will. It was somebody else's. It wasn't the Father's will. So, third, wash your spirit. Align your spirit with his. That's how we wash our shirts. Wash your spirit. Align your spirit with the Holy Spirit's. So, first thing, if you didn't get anything from this message at all today, and I hope you did. I know God did some great things, but we're going to wash that shirt. Wash that shirt. Don't be like Sam. We just let things go on over and over and over and get yuck and grime and sin and junk and don't do anything about it. We have an ultimate sacrifice, don't we? You know who also put on that shirt for us? Who put that shirt on for us, even with all the grime, with all the junk? Jesus did 2,000 years ago, so we wouldn't have to. So we could be free to wash that shirt. We can enjoy life, and we can rest in his grace and his forgiveness. Because we all make mistakes. Yeah, no one's perfect here. I mean, then I don't have that kind of stuff on there, but sometimes I do get some stuff on me. We all get some stuff and some crud and sin and grime on us. We do. But we can be washed. We can be washed because Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. He made the ultimate washing for us. And he did 2,000 years ago with his blood. And we're so blessed that we can go forth and do that. Amen? So, today I just want to have everybody just close your eyes, bow your heads. And this is a time just with you and the Lord. And maybe you've heard these things today, and you're like, man, you know what? The Lord's really been talking to me about this, and I really need to wash my shirt. I really just haven't been washing it the way I should. I don't wash it as often as I need to. I haven't been spending time in His presence. I haven't been reading His Word. I haven't been aligning my spirit with His. And so if that's you, I just want you to make it, not publicly, it's between you and God right now. I want you to say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't do as washing as much, and now I see if I'm not washing myself in You, not washing my shirt, this is what happens. And I'm sorry. And I want to wash my shirt more. Father, right now, I just ask, God, that You just wash our shirts right now. That You would wash our minds, Father. That You'd wash our hearts. That You'd wash our spirits. That way we can do things that You've called us to do. We can live that fulfilled life. That way we can minister the way we need to. And You're so good. Because You died 2,000 years ago to give us the ability to be able to wash that shirt. You died for all the grime, all the sin, all the junk. And Father, we just thank You right now that You're doing it in us. And Lord, we're excited because now that we've washed these shirts, Father, we can go further on in You. We can see the things that You want us to do, and we can do them. And we don't have to be held back. So Father, thank You so much for showing where our hearts are right now. But Lord, we don't want to stay where we are. We want to go forward in You. In Jesus' name, amen.